the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we worship you, Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Thou that inherit eternity, yes, you dwell with the humble. We worship you, Lord, we glorify thy name, Lord, that inhabited the faces of these people.
Amen.
We worship you, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet,
yes,
and light unto our path.
Amen.
Thy word, as we read earlier on, has thou exalted above all thy name. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. As we read this morning, Lord, we just trust the Holy Ghost, who is the author of all scripture, and by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and so forth. So we believe this morning that you will help us and give us understanding and bless the reading of your word.
Amen.
Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I pray that I can carry this morning by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to talk about the wisdom of Job. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The wisdom of Job. Well, we know very little about Job's life other than that which is recorded in the book that he bears his name. Where other prophets talk about him, Ezekiel named him among the Old Testament ancestors, Ezekiel 14:14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver by their own souls by their righteousness. Fear the Lord God. Then the 28th verse, Ezekiel says again, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, fear the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness. So we hear about him back and forth and so forth. So the New Testament also associated him with endurance and patience. James 5:11. We hold that. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Praise the Lord. See, the wisdom of Job has cooked as a can this morning by the grace of God. So, of course, Job is widely believed to be a contemporary of the patriarch Abraham, meaning he lived at or near the time of Abraham. His book is believed to be the oldest book of the Bible, actually, written hundreds of years before the Genesis itself was written. What we do know is that Job had a tremendous grasp of both the nature and the gospel of God. Even, as we're going to see right now, the wisdom of Job and so on, More often than not, the book of Job is used to teach about the nature of the devil's place on the earth. In the first two chapters, which we don't have to read anyway, we learn that the devil accuses Job, a righteous man, before God, and God allows the devil to tempt Job, right? Other times, the book is used to learn about perseverance, like we just read in the book of James, that if we persevere through temptations, we will be blessed many times over for what we lost, These lessons are the two most prominent people preachers preach about Job. But by the grace of God this morning, just want to call it the wisdom of Job. We learn from the book of Job that man is apart from the thing, people preach about him, the lessons of this book are very, very deeper than just, what we just talked about right now. We learn from the book of Job that man is not more righteous than God. See? That man's wisdom is out of his depth in challenging God's wisdom. Man is wrong in second guessing the motives of God. Amen? How can you segregate the motive of God? You can't. Well, the Bible says, Lord, we are permitted to reason with God. Prophet Isaiah told us in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. God allows man to reason with him, about his nature, his actions, ways, or almost anything else. But challenging his motive is folly.
Amen.
You can't challenge God's folly. I mean, God's wisdom or motive is folly. It is the height of the pride of man to challenge the motives of God. Job, however, teaches us that his understanding of God is both profound and far-reaching. So most of us, of course, are familiar with the book of Job, so we won't tell you a lot of things, He was a righteous a perfect man, they are told in the first chapter, you know, according to the beginning of the book. Satan came to God and asked God to allow him to tempt Job. In the course of tempting Job, Satan killed Job's children, took away his riches, and depreciated Job's head. As Job was mourning, even his very own wife, in Job 2:9, said unto him, dost thou still, retain thy integrity? Just call God and die, What trial, what temptation, praise the Lord. But he was a righteous man, of course he refused, he refused, Job refused and so on. Talking about the wisdom of Job, as much as I can go this way because of time and so on. But the book of the book comes when three of Job's friends came for the dubious, I call it dubious reason of trying to comfort him. It's really a misnomer, we call it, to call the three Job's friends, given their embarrassing treatment of him. In fact, the Hebrew word translated friend is describing the three friends actually means associate. That's the Hebrew word for that word. They call it friend, an associate, So the three associates that we call them now are Eliphaz, and Bildad, and Sophar. Eliphaz's name means God of gold. Bildad's name means bear has loved. We all know who bear is? Babylonian idol god, right? So that's what death means, right? And then Sophar means departing, just, So Eliphaz was the first one to, or the friends to console Job, quote unquote, to console, right? Praise the Lord. He began by telling Job in Job 4:8, through the chapters and so on, as quickly as I can, talking about the wisdom of Job, right? In Job 4:8. So Eliphaz began to talk, those who plow iniquity and so mystery, reap the same. What does he mean? He meant that the innocent doesn't suffer. So Job was in this situation because he had been unrighteous, reaping what he sowed, right? That he sowed sinfulness, and now was reaping sinfulness. He continued, Eliphaz continued in chapter 5 of Job 5:1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints without tongue. He was saying that God doesn't put any trust in his saints, right? In his servant. That was what this man was saying. And that God can't really hear us. Anyway, Eliphaz did not believe that God will answer Job. He didn't believe in God, whose interested and involved in the lives of his people. He continued, or it means that trouble doesn't happen at all, by any chance. Eliphaz said, all these things. There has to be a cause. Eliphaz was thinking and so on to him. Job must have done something to bring this evil upon himself. He told Job to repent, and that if he did, he will prosper, everything will just go well for him, and will have God's favor. And here it was in Job 5:25. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. To this we have searched it, this man said. So it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. What is he saying here? So to add insult to injury, now he now sought to ask legitimacy to his attempt to blame Job for his own trouble, saying, we have all figured it out, Job. You know, we have figured it out and so on and that, you know. Learn from us now, you know. See? And how many of us would love to have a friend like that, you know? Yeah, the gospel of according to the gospel of Eliphaz is not unheard of today, even in the church. Oh, so and so is having such a tough time. I wonder what he or she has done. Even in Christianity, we hear that when a brother or son passing through trouble and so on, but have committed one sin. You know, in the alias growth and so on, one is growth is sin. One is the devil, right? They have done something wrong, right? You know what I'm saying? So it happens all the time, and we have all experienced this thing. Praise the Lord. Presumptuousness is not uncommon even among God's people today. Even David prayed against it in Psalm 19:13. Give back thy servant also from presumptuous things. Let them not have dominion over me, he said. Praise the Lord. It's a terrible thing to presume and all of that, you know. And this is what these other so-called friends, and we call them associates, were doing to Job and so on and that, you know. And here is some of Job's answers to Eliphaz. In Job 6:24, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. The wisdom of Job, right? Show me where I have wrong. Tell me where I am wrong, you know. You can show it to me. In other words, show me where I have done wrong, and I will agree with you. You are digging a pit for your friend. You are talking in generality, my friend. You call me a friend, associate. You know me. You are my associate. Where did I sin that this befell me? Show me if you can. Anyway, then come the other one, Bildad. You know, Bildad means, Bael as low is as Lord. Anyway. Then Anoy added an insult to injury by reinforcing the message of Eliphaz in Job 8:6. If thou was pure and upright, surely now he, meaning God, will awake for thee and make the habitation of the righteousness, prosperous, he said. You know, this is a fancy way of saying, you are full of yourself, Job. If you are actually righteous, and as you claim, God will just jump into action and fix everything that's wrong. The fact that he's having you in trouble, and it's a proof, or leaving you in trouble is a proof, positive proof, that you are full of sin. Stop painting yourself as Mr. Righteousness. No, I repent, Job. This is what my try to tell him and so on. Job answered. Answer the accusation by preaching the gospel, I will call him, 4,000 years ahead of time. In Job 9:2, that's what Job is. I'm talking about the wisdom of Job, right? You know, Job 9:2. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. You don't move Job, right? Verse 15. Whom, though I were righteous, yet will I not answer. But I will make supplication to my judge. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wisdom of Job. So Job had a profound understanding of the nature of salvation. He said even if he was righteous, he couldn't stand before God and answer his question. He couldn't look righteous in God's sight. He said he had to depend on mercy. See, you know that what he was saying, many words, had to depend on mercy. And the father said in Job 9:20, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, he shall also prove me perverse. Wisdom of Job, right? You know, he was saying to them, you guys don't understand, the actions of my body cannot win approval from God. That's what Job was telling them. If I stand before him and claim righteousness through my own work or action, he will call my bluff and pronounce me a sinner. I depend on mercy to justify me. See? Praise the Lord. And I was telling his friend as well. This is the most succinct picture of the gospel recorded in the Old Testament, actually, you know, in the succinct way, you know. Even if a man behaves himself perfectly, he is still perverse, you know. Isaiah told us, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is the Most High God, the creator of all the end of the earth. It is mercy that justifies us. Here we see that Job's understanding of the nature of God is both very profound, and some of that, people will ask, where did he learn these things from? The Bible doesn't tell us. Once we know, all scripture is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right? Holy men of God take care as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. We know that. Praise the Lord. Then another one, Sophar, his name whom is the person. So Sophar is much as the Pharisees in the New Testament. His idea of righteousness is the same as theirs, the Pharisees and so on. That is, righteousness through works and rewards in this life. In chapter 11, he said that if Job would do away with his iniquities, everything would all be right. Job 11:6. He, meaning God, we show thee the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacted of thee less than that iniquity desired, and so on. In other words, know then that God has forgotten some of your iniquities for you. He was saying, well, at that point, you will take a sudden Job, right? Then hear what he's saying there. Not studying Job, in Job 11:14, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in the tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget the mystery, and remember it as waters that pass away. So Sophar's statement is a type of the gospel that many of the even people preach today, one way or the other, and some of that, that say they are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel of Sophar, we call this, is straight from the mouth of the false prophet and so on. Teaches that righteousness can be earned through man's works or action. How contrary to the scripture. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be and made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a good standing before the living God because the Lord Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. Now verse 31 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So far continues his theological statement in Job 12:6. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Again, Job had an incredible and deep understanding of the nature of God, really. It is not until thousands of years later that the Lord himself you know, begin to tell us in Matthew 5:45, because this guy was saying that, oh, tabernacles of the righteous and of robbers, they prosper, right? All of these things. Preaching the gospel thousands of years before. The Lord told us in Matthew 4:45, he, meaning God, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain and on the just and on the unjust. Yet, living far back at that same time, at the time of Abraham and so forth, Job understood by God's wisdom and so on, that God's mercy is not based upon our works. Amen? Praise the Lord. But upon his grace. So, and Job now begin to chastise them in Job 13:7. He says, will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocks another, do you so mock him? He said. So the implication of what he's saying here is clear. You guys don't know God at all. But you presume to speak for him. How dare you, associate with God? Instead of finding out what God really, who God really is, will you instead teach lies in his name? He then continues by teaching them about the nature of God, whom they obviously have never met. Let's see what he said in Job 14:16. For now, thou number my steps, teaching them now that God and so on. Thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over me or my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou swearest up my iniquity. What is Job saying here? He says, no. Job ended by preaching the gospel to them many, many thousands of years. You watch over me, O Lord, over my steps. You know everything I do, Lord. And yet you seal my transgression up, and you cover my iniquity. Job was teaching them. Right here, Job was trying to explain to his friends or associates that he was not claiming righteousness of his own, but he is claiming the righteousness that comes from surrendering one's life to be governed by God. Praise the Lord. See how he was teaching them? Job described the relationship by saying that God numbered his steps. And the mental picture he starts to paint here is that God is so intimately involved in Job's life that he even knows how many steps Job took. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not only Job, even the psalmist David and so on, that he told us the same truth in Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? And he delighted in his way. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Praise the Lord. Job expressing this in different way in that place and so on. He said, nevertheless myself, you know how many steps I'm taking. It's watching over you. Amen. It's watching over me. Praise the Lord. Luke 12:7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He cares for you and I, casting all our cares upon him. But Eliphaz couldn't even stand the idea that Job had just claimed an intimacy with God. So he said in Job 15:7. Now I'm just jumping through this chapter. Job 15:7. Had thou the first man that was born? Or was thou made before the hills? Hast thou had the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? Verse 14 says, it says, what is man that he should be clean, and and he which is born of woman that he should be righteous? You see? But Job had deep understanding of God and the nature of God, more than all these associates and so on. He was saying Just who do you think you are, Job? How can you claim to be clean? You are a man. Other men can't be clean. How can you claim intimacy with God? You are just like us, Job. You can't know what we don't know. Job, even if he claimed that, preaching the gospel ahead of time. We know in John 15, 3, I believe it is, you are clean through the word, amen? I speak unto you, praise the Lord. Ah, thousands of years before Job and so on, the wisdom of Job and so on, that, you know, by the Holy Ghost and so on, that, you know. Anyway, Eliphaz couldn't even understand that why Job would make the audacious claim that, you know, he understood God and that God is intimately involved in his life. This astounding, even unbelievers today, when you make your claim before them that when you are in Christ, they just lack it to score, you know, because they don't know what you're talking about. They cannot discern spiritual things, praise the Lord. See? Spiritual things have to be very discerned and so forth. So then Job made what is possibly the biggest understatement in the whole book. Here it is in Job 16:1-2. I call it understatement. Job 16:1-2. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Praise the Lord. See? So I can say the biggest understatement of the whole book and so on. He then continued by shaming them in Job 16:4. I also could speak as he do. If you could, if your soul were in my soul's state, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, he said. He let them know that God hadn't done this to him because of his action. Even though Job didn't even know what God's reason was for all that he was going through on his trouble, he knew it wasn't because of his sin which God had forgotten. See, the wisdom of Job, right? Now, let's see what another friend of his, Bildad and so on, got into the root of what the friends were actually saying. In Job 18:5, I just skipped three chapters here. Job 18:5, yea, the life of the wicked shall be put out, he said, and the spark of his fire, shall not shine. Verse 6, the light shall be dark, in his tabernacles and so on, and his candle shall be put out with him. What is he saying now? In other words, they were saying that Job, surely your situation means that that you, like these wicked people, don't serve God. That's what they are saying. This in a nutshell is one of the most popular teaching, even in some circles today, against those passing through trials and tribulation. Bible says the true gospel the Lord told us in Luke 4, say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent to speak the gospel to the poor, right? To heal the brokenhearted, right? To set the captives free, right? And those who are bruised to set them free. Praise the Lord. So when people see the other Christian suffering, they begin to say all kind of things ought not to be so. Now, Job began to lose his patience now in Job 19:1. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Verse 4. Be it indeed that I have erred, my error remaineth with myself. In other words, how long will you falsely accuse me? Why are you not ashamed at what you are doing? He later asked them why they seek to magnify themselves against him and so on, So it is not uncommon, today to see some Christians conclude that a fellow Christian has sinned because they had him or her saying or doing something of which they don't approve. See? I talked before about Christian person and so on, They tend to shake their heads if they hear the story of Job's friend and so on, and shake their heads and so on, But in their hearts, they are even guilty of the same thing. In fact, Job's friend might have even done better. For at least they were honest enough to come right out and accuse Job, right? But even in some Christians, this act, I mean, they act so cowardly that they make the accusations in their hearts so they can feel good about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I mean, this miserable comforters and so even did better. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I'm talking about the wisdom of Job, right, and so on that. You know, a little here and there. This they do in neglect of what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10. They were comparing because somebody did something that they don't agree with here and so on. So comparing, they said with themselves, 2 Corinthians 10, 12. They are ignorant of this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Praise the Lord. Job again concluded his response by trying to communicate that the righteousness he claimed did not stem from himself. In Job 19:25, here is what he says. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, he said, and that he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And though after my skin once destroyed, Job said, this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed, Job said within me. So what is he saying here? Job's declaration that he shall see God with his own eyes after his death is the earliest reference to a belief in the resurrection that we read in the Bible, amen? See? That's the first reference we know because we believe in the oldest book written, really, you know? So we have the resurrection and so on. We believe. Bible didn't say it. In Matthew 27, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, many body of the saints, we are told, rose, and they appear to many, after his resurrection, they appear to many in Jerusalem. We will think that Job was one of them, amen? Praise the Lord. Bible didn't say it, but I think we believe that Job was one of those people and so on. Preaching about the resurrection as the fourth written book of the Bible, as far as we know, So just many things in the book of Job. Anyway, but more importantly, Job was claiming that his reward is not in this life. His hope was that he will reap good things in this life for his righteousness. That's what he was talking about. That's why when he lost everything and everything and so on, he refused to curse God at all. He understood that the good things that happened to him were not a result of his righteousness at all. They were simply blessings. Praise the Lord. See, the wisdom of Job. They were undeserved gifts from God. The reward Job was talking about or looking for will come after his resurrection and so on like that, you know. And this is supernatural eyesight, I believe, in action. In the midst of the most vicious assault against his integrity, recorded in the Bible actually, Job had a strength of conviction to never waver from his understanding of God's truth. Amen? Despite all this, what we're going to do and so on. He was far ahead of his time. For in the scripture, we later read in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men more miserable. Praise the Lord. Wisdom of Job and so on that law. Now, so far couldn't even stand all this. Part of his response was recorded in Job 20:28-29. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away. In the day of his wrath, there is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. In other words, he was saying that the wicked lives in form and a good life for a while. They are revered for a while. But eventually, his wickedness catch up with him, he said, and he has to pay the piper, so to speak, he was saying in effect, Job, this is what is happening to you. Praise the Lord. Are they really friends or associates and so on? You know? So to the natural eye, no, there is little difference between what these friends or you know were saying and what Job and Christians were really saying. What you know, they will sign the same thing. They were both apparently justifying, you know, and standing up for God, right? You know, in some way, if you look at it critically and so on, they were standing for God's holiness and so on. But Job's vision, with financial eyesight, saw right through the dissimulation of the accusers, and got right to the heart of the doctrinal issue that they couldn't understand at all. They couldn't grab it and so on. And of course, in the end, they look at, they were all defending God, right? So they think, in accusing Job and so on, not even what was happening to him. But in the end, Job saw through all of these things and so on. So and we know, in the end, God vindicated Job. Amen? If you look at Job 42:7, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against our two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Praise the Lord. Job vindicated as well, you know. So Eliphaz answered and asked you know, a simple question. How can a man be useful to God? Does God even care that you are righteous? Job, I'm paraphrasing a lot of things here. He accused Job of wickedness, robbery, and many other things. He asked Job to repent and come to intimately know God, and he will restore his health and wealth. Indeed, he got right to the root of his, you know, of the point. And in Job 22:25, so if you repent and so on, Job, he said it. Yeah, this is a popular scripture here, and we can claim it for our prosperity and so on, but not in the light that this man put it. Yeah, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vow. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way. We can take that scripture for ourselves, amen. Praise the Lord. But this man was saying, in the, I mean, the looking at, you know, accusing Job and things like that, you know. Anyway, using his supernatural eyesight, he had gleaned through a tremendous relationship with God. Job saw right through it all. Then in Job 23:11, here is what he says. My foot has held itself. Its way have I kept, amen? And not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, amen?
Amen.
Oh, wisdom from Job, the wisdom of Job. More than my necessary food, you know? So I don't listen to that, you know? So, so we need to wrap this up here. So we can, you know, we can tell some very profound things from Job's answer to the accusers who called themselves his friends. In wrapping up this morning, wisdom of Job and so on. Some things here. Job had a very personal relationship with God. Such a relationship that both stemmed from his understanding of God, which engender is a supernatural eyesight, actually. Job had no illusion that he was sin free. What is saying that? He had no illusion that he was sin free. Instead, he understood that his righteousness was based upon God's mercy. Another insight that was thousands of years before even the gospel and through on. What do we say? That even later on, we are told in 1 John 1:8. If you say that we have no sin, right? That's to Christians, right? Right? That right? To Christians, right? If you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what Job was trying to tell us thousands of years ago, you know, and so on, hidden in the Bible, that and so on. So there are many other Bible truths that are elucidated the first time in the book of Job. I don't have time to go through the rest of them. The deeper teaching of this incredible book is that Job was a man of incredible depth in the understanding of the nature of God and the coming Messiah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Of the coming Messiah, yes. He refers to the coming Messiah as the Redeemer, which I read before in Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at a later day upon the earth. So the book, so of course, they call him the Redeemer. He could see that, he could see to the fall of man. He could see the coming Redeemer. Praise the Lord. So the Bible later, in the book of Ruth, refers to the Redeemer also, that Job talked about. We all know in the book of Ruth, you know, we are told, you know, in that book that Boaz was playing the role of a kinsman redeemer, right? When he redeemed Ruth, the Moabite, a Gentile, right? And married her. That is in Ruth chapter 4, what to say, I don't have time to read that, but we know that story. So, talking about the, you must talk about the redeemer, the first book read, as far as we know, talking about the redeemer, right? And so, Ruth, you know, pick up in that book chapter 4. Boaz was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning God, through incarnation, became our kinsman, you know? Praise the Lord. Deep city from when that redeemer, say my redeemer lives. That's a deep thing that runs through the Bible and some of that, you know. So anyway, through the incarnation became our kinsman and our you know, our redeemer. Redeem us from sin and death with his own blood. And taking us, the church, largely Gentile, for his bride, Gentile bride, amen. Praise the Lord. See? Across the Bible and so Joseph knows my redeemer lives, right? And then the book of Ruth picks it up right there and so on like that, you know. And he finishes up here, of course, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So in whom we have redemption in our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that my Redeemer lives, right? Job was defined to him, right? In that book and so forth. Of course, Galatians 3, talking about the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hanged on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. He took a Gentile bride, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, I say, on the Gentiles, why not on the Jews? Yeah, they have their own portion. On the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now the last scripture in Job is in Job 27:5. He made a decision. I will not remove my integrity from me, amen? I will not, I don't care how many people accuse me, you know, falsely and so forth. I will not remove my integrity from me. Verse 6 says, my righteousness I hold fast, I will not let it go, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He knows God with his righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hold it. I don't see, I don't care anybody who don't see that way to me. I know that my righteousness is of God. Anyway, so he said, I will so hold to it. So this morning, in closing, little thing about Job and so on, the wisdom of Job. So holding fast, right? Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen?
Amen?
Such an age we are living in right now, all kind of things, all kind of doctrine and so on, that you know. Let us hold fast our profession. Just hold fast to his integrity, right, in God and so on, that you know. Let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, you know. For he is faithful that promised. Praise the Lord. Holding it fast and so on that, you know. Even Revelation 2:25, the Lord taught it. But that which thou hast already, hold fast till I come. Amen?
Amen.
Hold fast till I come. What you have planned all this day, 40, 45, 50 years and so on, the soon coming of the Lord. Let us not be of them who say, since the Father's place, where is the promise of his coming? You see, the unbeliever. and the make believers, right? You know, praise the Lord. And even as all things remain the same. And all things are changing every day, even. How can they all remain the same? Praise the Lord. So let us hold fast until the Lord comes. Revelation 22:7. Behold, I come quickly. 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Last scripture here, 22, Revelation, verse 20. Surely I tell you, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. Just to show something we can call the wisdom of Job and so on. You know, and learn anything from there this morning. So we bless your glorious name, Lord. That's part of this thing. Holding fast in an age of idolatry and so on, and backsliding and so forth, that, you know. So by the grace of God, help us to hold fast unto that very day. Bible says, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep for the hour of temptation. So I'm going to try all that God upon the face of the earth. In your patience, the Lord says, protect your soul. Amen?
Amen.
We are in the age of impatience. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's affecting even Christians too and so like that, you know. In your patience, protect your soul. Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husband himself, waited patiently, for the precious fruit of the earth, until he received the early and the later rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord dread night. Lord, we thank you this morning. We worship you. Let us be of them that are patient and account us worthy. Help us to be watchful and be prayerful. And account us worthy, Lord of God. To escape all these things we have had. Before you know it, walking underneath, the Antichrist will be revealed. That the issue of the mark, they are walking underneath right now. The temple, tribulation temple, all they need to beat it is already there. Waiting to be beaten and so forth, that overnight, this thing will unfold. World economy, all the signs are telling us the coming of the Lord. Matthew 24, Luke 21 are telling us earthquake in diversity and so on. Political upheaval, all over the place and so on. The sign the Lord gave us. In all these things, Lord, help us to in our speaking process here, to account us worthy to escape all these things, Father, and to stand before the Son of Man. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are expecting Jesus.
We are
expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.